You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Welcome to This Song Is Yours. We're a music podcast that chats to artists, musicians and creatives on their songwriting craft and upcoming projects. I'm your host, Simon Fink, and welcome to episode 300. We did it. We finally hit the big 300. So today we're celebrating with a few things. It's been 3 years since we started the pod. We're celebrating 300 episodes with at least surely a handful of them maybe being good. But lastly, and definitely most important, we're celebrating the debut album of one of our favorite artists of the last few years. Today, our guest is Holly Humberstone, and she's on the pod to celebrate her new record, Paint My Bedroom Black. It's a stunning piece of work, and we're so excited for this chat. Before we do get to our conversation with Holly, please make sure you subscribe to the pod on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever app you use, and follow us across all of our social media channels. Details for all can be found within the show notes of today's episode. Our guest today is Holly Humberstone. She's a singer and songwriter from Lincolnshire in England and has been releasing music since 2020. Throughout the pandemic and in the years since, Holly has been winning fans over with her heartfelt songwriting and confessional style lyrics. After releasing her first EP back in 2021, she took out the Brit Award for Rising Star, and she's also toured with the likes of Girl in Red and Olivia Rodrigo. Today, she's releasing her highly anticipated debut record, Paint My Bedroom Black. It sees Holly blend her unique sound of indie pop, singer-songwriter, and alternative music all together for this gorgeous collection of songs. It truly is a beautiful record, so please do yourself a favor and listen to it after this episode. In today's episode, however, we're talking to Holly about her debut record finally being released and the multitude of feelings that must come with it. We discuss the sonics of the record and how she came to collaborate with artists like Ethan Gruska and David for some of these tracks. We also get into Holly's upcoming tour to Australia and what fans can expect. Paint My Bedroom Black is out today, and we've left links within the show notes on where you can buy the record and see her upcoming Australian tour dates. We also want to say a massive thank you to Samantha from Universal Music Australia for her help with today's episode. Here is our conversation with Holly Humberstone. Please welcome to This Song Is Yours, Holly Humberstone. Holly, hello. How are you going?
Hey, Simon. I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's an incredibly exciting and busy time for you at the moment. So I'm very, very excited that you're able to join us for today.
Oh, of course. Well, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. This is going to be fun.
I'm very much looking forward to it. I do want to get into the album, which is the reason for our conversation today. But there's one thing I kind of want to get into first. We were very lucky enough to have a little sneak peek of the record, and thank you very much for that. There was one little lyric that kind of, I would say that I was already a Holly Humberstone fan before this record. It might have elevated my opinion of you even higher. I want to discuss The OC, the TV show.
Oh, yes, The OC. Oh, my gosh.
In the track Cocoon, I think it kicks off the song saying, are you free tonight to watch The OC? I do have to quickly ask if there's a favourite character or favourite episode or storyline that you have throughout that series.
It's one of those things I used to watch as a really young kid, and I need to revisit it before the album comes out because I'm really not, like, queued up on it like I should be. But I don't know. I need to go back and watch it. It's just kind of like this. I feel like I've become, like, the busier I've got with music, the more I need to kind of distract myself with kind of like mindless like TV shows. But I feel like I really need to go back and watch it, because I don't actually know off the top of my head if I could remember like an episode or answer this question correctly. Like I need to go back and do my research a little bit more, and watch the show like again, or watch a couple of episodes. But I do remember that I loved it. I can't remember specifics, but I remember I loved it. I'm not queued up enough to answer this question.
I very much can respect that as an answer. And I feel that this album, the sonics kind of covered on it, it might fit into that kind of OC soundtrack kind of vibe as well. I think that there's a lot of moments on this brand new record. It is the debut record from yourself. It's called Paint My Bedroom Black. Firstly, congratulations on it.
Thank you.
Yeah, this record is fantastic. How are you feeling? I know it's probably been long in the making for yourself. How are you feeling now that it's coming out?
Oh, thanks, Simon. I'm feeling a little like a weird mix of emotions, I think. Like, it's taken me so long to kind of get to this point, and the writing process for the record was kind of a little bit trickier at times. It was a bit more of a test, because I feel like I've already got a lot of music out, and I feel like I've got more to kind of prove, and like I felt like I was kind of in competition with myself to try and, like, I don't know, one up myself a little bit, but also make it sound kind of like an extension of my older stuff, so not too like distant from that. But like, I don't know, like, I'm really, really proud of every single song, and I feel like I put my heart into it. So yeah, I don't know, part of me is scared because I'm not very good at taking any kind of criticism on the chin, and I feel like because my music is so like personal, and I put so much of myself into it, like I feel like I am kind of opening myself up to criticism. But like, it's okay, I think it will be fine. I'm really looking forward to releasing it, and I feel like the fans are the most important people, so yeah, I'm really looking forward to it on the other hand as well. Like, it'll be really cool to release music again, and I am really proud of it. So yeah, I can't believe how soon it is though. Like, it's really crept up.
Look, in terms of the criticism, I don't think there's going to be any problem here. These songs are absolutely gorgeous, Holly.
Oh, thank you, Simon. That's so sad. Thank you.
Of course. I would love to know, I guess, in terms of the ground that you're covering sonically on this record, because I felt that there were little touches of there's indie rock in some, in Cocoon, as mentioned. There was almost like little bits of, I want to say, like soul or almost funk elements of instrumentation in the title track. Mm-hmm. When you were going into the recording of these tracks, they're still very much you at the core of them, but with all these little kind of different touches of different sonics. Were you going into this kind of wanting to try and push the envelope of what you'd already previously done?
Yeah, for sure. And I think that was why it was a little bit of a challenge, because I wanted to create something that was like a natural next step, but I also had the kind of external and like internal pressures that I was putting on myself to kind of, I don't know, to be better and to write like more kind of commercial kind of pop music, because that's what I thought that the natural next step would be, that's just kind of what I thought people would be expecting from me. So it took me quite a long time to kind of get anywhere with writing, honestly, in the beginning, because I was writing like really rubbish, like pop, like kind of poppier sounding songs, and it wasn't making me very happy. And so yeah, I think the moment that I started to kind of chill out on that and just write what kind of came from the heart and not overthink it too much was the moment that I got kind of a bunch of songs that I genuinely really loved. And yeah, I'm really proud of it. But yeah, I definitely wanted to kind of branch out a little bit sonically as well, and push myself for sure. So yeah, I don't know. To me, the album feels kind of all over the place. Like, every song sounds completely different. And I guess that is just sort of a good representation in my head. That's a good representation of the kind of emotional state that I was in over that kind of year and a half whilst I was writing the album, if that makes any sense.
It does, 100%. In terms of what you just mentioned, I guess coming to that point where it did kind of finally click, do you remember what song it was that you wrote that kind of it started to make sense and there was clarity there?
I think that it was Ghost Me. It's a song called, it's a song called Ghost Me. And it's, I wrote it about being away from home. And I remember that, so I spent like a lot of last year on tour and I like really love tour. And I think that it's like, for me, it's a bit of an emotional roller coaster and there's some really, really high points. And then there's kind of also really kind of low points as well. I feel like they come hand in hand a lot of the time. I don't know. I'd find that I'd be in a new place every day and it would be like a really like overstimulating kind of intense time. And then I'd get into my hotel room at night and I'd shut the door and it would just kind of be silent and I'd be left to like sort of confront my thoughts and stuff. And I wrote quite a lot of little notes down in those sort of times. And that's kind of where Ghost Me came from. There's a line in it that says, the more I see, the less I know. And this feels like the Truman Show. And yeah, I just remember writing that down on my notes. And then I got off tour and I got in the room with my friend Rob, who I write most of my stuff with, and another amazing singer-songwriter called Ben Lefwich, who I write quite a bit with as well. And we wrote Ghost Me, and it was, I don't know, it was just such a relief to kind of get it off my chest, because writing is my kind of way of journaling. Like, I don't really write. I just write the odd sort of word or phrase down. And then, yeah, writing, when I get in the room, I can, that's my time where I can fully just relax and kind of be myself. I remember writing Ghost Me and I feel like I felt good about it all again and got my kind of self-esteem back with writing. I don't know. I feel like for a lot of creatives, I think it must be the same. Like, I think we're all our own worst critic. And to me, I feel like I'm only as good as the last song I wrote. So, if I'm going through sort of a dry spell, it's really, really hard to kind of get back into the studio and motivate myself. I remember writing Ghost Me though and being like, this is going to be a really cool album.
I absolutely love that. Thank you very much for sharing that with us.
Oh, you're welcome. That's okay.
As you just mentioned a second ago, there's your songwriting partners, Rob. And I think Ben, who you mentioned, I know that for, I think it was one or two tracks on this record, you also worked with Ethan Grusker. And there is an appearance by the lovely David, who appears on this record and we've had on the podcast, very lovely man. In terms of collaboration and working with others, how do you find that process? Because as you mentioned, these songs are very personal and very intimate to yourself and your experience. And how do you find that process of kind of sharing it with them and working it out with someone else?
Honestly, like a lot of the time I find collaborations really, really difficult. Just because for me, as I said before, writing is kind of like my chance to kind of get everything off my chest and to kind of journal. So for me, it's a really, really difficult thing to kind of go into the room with a stranger and kind of like pour my heart out and stuff like that. So I feel like it has to be the right match. There's a lot of amazing, amazing songwriters that I've worked with that it just hasn't worked with. And that's also okay because it's not going to kind of click with everybody and be kind of a natural match with everybody, and that's okay. But I honestly feel like to get the best out of me lyrically, I feel like I have to be really, really comfortable and relaxed. Otherwise I'm getting in my head and I'm thinking that I kind of have to prove myself to this person. But I was in LA and I was really far away from home and I kind of had like a really unsuccessful writing trip, and I was a bit down. And then we had like a weekend off, and I have been like a huge fan of Ethan's for such a long time. Like, I love his work on all the Phoebe stuff and all the other stuff that he does, and his, like, I'm a huge fan of his solo project as well. So I kind of reached out and was like, are you free at the weekend? I'd love to work with you. And I know that he'd come to a few of my shows before when I'd been playing in LA. And he was just like really open to it. And I thought, this is an opportunity that I just have to try out. I can't pass this up because I'm obsessed with this man. This man is God, as far as I'm concerned. And yeah, we went in, and it was like such a relief after such a like tricky writing period and being away from home and stuff. It just felt like really, really comfortable and really natural. And he had this studio that's like, it's honestly like nothing I've ever seen before. He's filled it with like little like random kind of little trinkets and little weird objects that just make sounds like that. Yeah, it's a really, really cool little, he's got this little cave, yeah. And we went in and we started to write Into Your Room. And it was just like a really, really fun day. And I feel like, to me, the best songs that I've written, in my eyes, the ones where I can remember the day that we wrote on. And that was definitely like a really memorable time. And then with David as well, like, he was another one that I was a huge fan of. And I was like, I've got to try this because I don't know when I'll get another opportunity. But yeah, he was in London, and I knew that because we're signed with the same label in America, and we have quite a lot of the same team. And so my team were telling me that David was coming over, and I was like, please can you get him to come and write with me if he has a spare afternoon? And he had a spare couple of hours, and then he came into the studio, and I'd had the title.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Super Blood Moon in my notes for quite a long time. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like we wrote a song about being away from home and missing people and feeling kind of disconnected from relationships. And I feel like he could probably relate to me better than anybody because he's away a lot of the time and he's traveling and has commitments with work that he has to prioritize like me. So yeah, that was also another one that was just really, really natural. And yeah, just like a really, really fun day. And I feel like sometimes when I'm a huge fan of the person, I just have to push myself into it. And usually it's definitely worth it. Yeah, I love both of those songs. There's also another song on the album called Lauren, which I also worked on with Ethan. But yeah.
They are fantastic tracks. And I'm glad to hear that obviously those collaborations did work out. I did hear, what was it? In my research, I kind of think that Into My Room was made, as you mentioned, like little trinkets. Was it like instruments that he had found at an op shop or a pawn shop?
Exactly, yeah. It was just like little like random things that he picked up that made sound, like little really, really old instruments or little kids' toys that made like pops, squeaks or something like that. Like, honestly, it was like something from like an enchanted toy shop. It was so weird, but it was really, really inspiring. And I feel like that's why Into Your Room sounds so different, because we had so much to kind of play with.
That's awesome. I do love that. I wanted to be just a little bit selfish, if I may be, and just ask about one of my favorite tracks on the record. It was called Kissing in Swimming Pools. And this song was, there's like an old romantic kind of charm to it. And the chord progression in the chorus, just near that end of the chorus, is absolutely heart melting. Inspire? Oh, that's okay. are you able to share with us the inspiration or the creation of this song and where it came from?
Yeah. So this song, I think it's also one of my favorites because it, I don't know. It's a special one. So as I said before, I was away like for most of the year touring and stuff like that, which I loved, but it also meant that I was kind of neglecting relationships and stuff like that and struggling to hold down romantic relationships as well, which I really wanted, but I was so far away from home that I really just didn't have time for it or didn't have like the spare emotional energy. And I mean, it's definitely like a metaphorical song. Like nobody has a swimming pool here in the UK. You guys are lucky in Australia, but it's too cold to have that over here. But yeah, I feel it's kind of like I just wanted to write like a love song really. And it was kind of just about this situation that I really, really wanted to make happen, but I just couldn't. And I felt like writing a song about it was my only way of kind of being present in it and kind of connecting to it. It was a really, really cool day. Again, it was one of those that we wrote in a day and we put like the demo in and then just didn't really change it after that too much. We just didn't really mess with it. We left it how it was in like its kind of raw form. And again, like we didn't really overthink the lyrics. We kind of just let it kind of just happen and fall out and just went with how we were feeling, you know? It was just like a really great day. I feel like it's definitely one of my favorites. I kind of like how kind of nostalgic it feels to me. It feels like a lot of music that I used to listen to as a kid. I don't know. We literally put guitars on it, tambourine, some like really sort of spacey kind of reverby drums and some strings, and that is kind of it. We just left it as raw because I feel like the lyrics kind of called for that. But I'm glad that you like that one because it's one of my favorites for sure.
There is some absolute magic in that song, and whatever it is, I can see why you kind of left it almost as untouched as you could. So thank you for sharing that with me. I appreciate it, Holly. As you mentioned, you did mention Australia. You are coming back to see us in a number of months, which is very exciting. I think you're only here last year, if I'm correct.
Yeah, I think I was only over with you guys. When was I over in Australia? It wasn't very long ago. I think it was last summer. Our summer last year. I think it was, I came over for Splendor in the Grass.
Yes.
So whatever time of year that is, I was there at that point. But I mean, I absolutely loved it. I wasn't expecting it to be so cold. I do have to say that because it was like gorgeous weather in the UK. And then I came over and all I packed was tiny little shorts. And then it was like 10 degrees. And I was quite shocked because I feel like, you know, I've always been told that Australia is like boiling hot and that there's spiders and snakes everywhere. And it wasn't anything of the sort. But yeah, I am coming back and I'm coming back in the new year. And I'm going to do a headline show in Sydney, which will be really, really fun. And I'm going to do a couple of festivals. So, yeah, I mean, I'm expecting it to be really, really hot this time around because it's your summer. I'm just really excited because last time I was there, I feel like the shows were amazing. I'm really gassed to come back. I can't wait.
I know that there's a lot of people excited about you coming back. As you just mentioned, there is a headline show that I think will be announced by the time that this comes out. And I did do a little bit of research and having a look at the math. I think that the previous venue you played in Sydney was a capacity of a certain amount. And I think this one is almost double, which is very exciting. I know there's a lot of Australian fans excited to see you. What can, I guess, in terms of Playing a festival show in Australia compared to a headline show, what can fans kind of expect from the headline show?
A headline show, I think that I'm going to, I mean, for a festival, you never get like too long. I feel like you always get like maybe like under an hour. So I have to pick the bangers. But at a headline show, I really like playing the kind of underdog song, which I feel like are fan favorites. Like, so I'm going to be doing a few of those, and I'm bringing a band with me this time, which is really exciting because last year when I came over, I was just solo. It was like a solo show. So I'm really, really excited for that, to have people on stage with me to kind of bring the songs to life a little bit more. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. I think just let's just have a really fun time. I feel like, I feel like I really remember last year the crowds being like exceptionally amazing. So I'm really, really looking forward to being there. And just thank you if you bought a ticket, and I can't wait to come back and see you guys.
Well, I know that there's a lot of people who have bought, I think, various tickets. There's Lost Paradise Festival, there's Heaps Good Festival, and there's the headline show. So you're covering quite a lot of ground while you're here. So I think lots of people have a chance or opportunity to see you.
Amazing. Oh, I'm really, really excited. I can't wait to come back. I'm missing the taste of Tim Tams for sure. I've never tried anything like them, honestly. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Look, when you come back, I believe you're playing Heaps Good in Adelaide, which is where we're based. So we'll try and speak to the powers that be that have put us together today, and we'll try and get you some Tim Tams and other Australian snacks as well. So we'll make sure you're looked after.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. You don't know how much I appreciate that.
That's all good. Is there a certain track from the record that I think you're actually playing most of the songs now. Is there one that has you the most excited to play live, or that you kind of seem to be resonating with in the live setting?
So I've done, like, here in the UK, I've done like a little mini tour that I'm currently on actually, where I'm going around smaller venues and doing kind of a lot of the album tracks acoustically so that I can get kind of the lyrics and the stories across, which has been really, really fun. And I feel like I'm really excited for Flatlining to come out. It's one that I kind of shoved on the album as an afterthought kind of thing. I mean, I knew I loved it, but like I kind of forgot about it until these shows. And yeah, I don't know. It's just loads of fun to kind of play as a stripped back version. And I think that the production is really, really different for me. And I'm looking forward to like having a band and being able to play that live, because I think that's going to be really cool. But I don't know. Other than that, I feel like we've talked about all the ones that I think are my favorites, like Kissing and Swimming Pools and Cocoon and Ghost Me. I think those three for me are some of my favorite writing that I've done. I'm just excited for people to hear those, because I feel like those are the ones that kind of define the album for me, as well as Paint My Bedroom Black as well. Those are the ones that kind of define it all for me. So I'm really looking forward to people hearing those and hopefully connecting to the lyrics and stuff like that. And getting to play those live will be really fun too. So yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for all of it.
Look, I can very much appreciate that sentiment, Holly. I'm sure that there is just a multitude of feelings and kind of everything going on with yourself with this album coming out. And I know that there's so many fans excited for this as well. So I know that everyone is kind of excited about hearing the album, picking their favorite tracks, going through the lyrics and the liner notes, which I'm sure people are going to have an absolute ball with. So I'm very excited for this record as well. I will continue to sing its praises while you're here. I'm not ashamed in that regard.
Thank you, Simon. That's so sweet.
Of course. Holly, we would usually ask our guests what they're currently listening to. Is there anything at the moment that is on high rotation for yourself?
Is there anything at the moment that's on high rotation? I will tell you that I can't stop listening to the new Japanese House record. Mm-hmm. I just think that like, I think it's her best one, and I really have not listened to it. At times I go through phases where I just don't listen to any music, and it's kind of one of those times now, but that album has still been kind of on absolute repeat. I just think it's beautiful and the writing's amazing and stuff. So yeah, definitely the new Japanese house album. I think it's called In the End It Always Does. It's amazing. You should definitely check it out.
An absolutely solid recommendation. What song is it? I think Morning News with Muna, or with Katie from Muna. Just an absolutely stunning track from that record.
It's gorgeous. Yeah. I also think that the like closing track of the album is like heartbreaking. I think it's called One for Sorrow, Two for Joni Jones, and it's about her dog, and it's like so beautiful. Definitely don't listen to that if you're feeling a bit fragile, because it'll send you over the edge.
It does come with somewhat of a warning, but an absolutely still a great recommendation all the same. Holly, thank you so much for coming onto the podcast and helping us celebrate 300 episodes, but also congratulations on Paint My Bedroom Black, which is the stunning debut record from yourself. It's out now. We'll make sure people can buy it in the links of the podcast, as well as tickets to your headline show. But yes, thank you again and congrats.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Simon. This has been really, really fun. And also congratulations on the 300th episode. I'm honored to be a part of it. So thank you so much for having me.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.